Blog Talk Radio. evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and tonight is open topic. That means any and everything will be discussed here tonight. And if you have a topic or something you want to talk about, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877, 646-652-2877. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Rhea. Hi, Rhea.
Hi, Gail. How are you this evening?
I am fantastic. And I want to say to Lisa, I was trying to send Lisa a private message, and for some reason she said she's getting it in Chinese, so I apologize for that, Lisa. I think it has something to do with Blog Talk, because you know they changed up the whole format, so I don't know what's going on. But and then I had pushed the wrong button when I had tried to push private. I think I pushed Whisper or something, I don't know, but it may be my fault. But I'll give you a call later on, Lisa. Okay, how was your day, Rhea?
It was a good day today.
Oh, that's
actually
good.
Usually I have a good day. Every now and then I get sprinkled with a great one.
I know that's right. Well, my day went pretty good as well. You know, it was colder here today, but I didn't go out before a second. I wasn't out that long. But, you know, it's gotten cold, and they said it's supposed to be some snowstorms or something coming this way. But it hasn't started yet, so, you know, if it does, it does. If it don't, it don't.
I know that's right. Well, we got, we 2 degrees here, so we really cold.
2 degrees? Oh, my goodness. I don't know how cold it is here, but it's, it's 22 degrees here.
Yeah, but our windshield, I know our windshield is below zero.
Wow.
I forgot what they said. The degrees is 2, but I forgot what they said it actually feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. And like we were talking the other day, this is on the heels of it being damn near 70 on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? And you want to know why people are sick.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? That is really something. Well, a topic that I want to start off discussing is this program on television called Honey Boo Boo. Rhea, out of all the reality quote-unquote shows on the television, this is the worst. I would rather see that guy Shorty Lowe, All My Baby Mama show, opposed to this Honey Boo Boo mess. Have you ever watched it?
Oh, hell no.
Child, I was
even
in here one day.
Even if I could, I wouldn't. I refuse to pay for TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have cable. But even if I had, I wouldn't watch it.
Right. I was in here. I think it comes on. What day was I in here? I was so bored. And I had it on that channel. So I said, well, let me watch it, see what this mess is about. Honey, you talking about a bunch of uncouthed, ill-mannered, I mean, they have no comment. I mean, they're just like a pack of wild animals left in a field somewhere. They fart, don't wash their hands, don't brush their teeth, don't take baths. I mean, they just, I can't understand what is the purpose of that show. Because all of them are so disrespectful towards one another. I think she has a 17-year-old that just had a baby. This next girl is, how many girls? It's 3 or 4 girls in Honey Boo Boo, but one of the girls curses in front of them. And I mean, and then one of them, I don't know if they all have the same father, but I know Honey Boo Boo's father is in there. And she talking about, I don't want to get married. Why I want to be married? And, please. But honey, that's one show that's, and she can't cook. And, she's afraid of mayonnaise, the mother. She's afraid of mayonnaise. They live in this little house, railroad tracks right next to the house. Then Honey Boo Boo had a pet pig. They had to get rid of that. Now they got a pet chicken. Let me see what else happened. She cooked Thanksgiving dinner, took butter in her hand. Now they don't wash their hands and put butter all on this big turkey. Put it on the inside, and a big spoon of it fell on the floor. And I know Honey Boo Boo got down there and picked it up, and they put it on that bird, but they went to commercial for that. But they are the most nastiest, triflingest group of people I ever seen in my life to be on television. You know,
wow.
I mean, it's just, I think it's a shame. Why? I mean, I just don't see any purpose for that show, because the little girl, she's very disrespectful to her mother. They went out to do some Halloween shopping, which none of them don't need no Halloween face masks and all that kind of stuff, but they went to Halloween shopping, and she was getting getting mad, and then the way they was running around in the store, you know, just so no manners whatsoever. They stand up and fart wherever they at, coughing, you know, just trifling. I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out. Why is it on television? That's what I can't understand, because even though there's some other reality shows on television that are a mess, but Honey Boo Boo got it hands down.
That's interesting.
Worse. Yes, it's horrible. And, oh, Lord have mercy. Girl had a baby, and they was out, it was Halloween, I think. They was out Halloween taking the stuffers out of a pumpkin, and the pumpkin and stuff was getting all in the baby's face. They just, and why is that girl? Where? And then when she went to the hospital, no baby daddy showed up. She looked like she's younger than 17. She might be, I don't know. But, you know, all of them, they just, they're worse than trailer park trash. And that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
It makes me wonder, because I do feel as though a lot of the reality TV shows buy into that watching a train wreck happen mentality. And some of them, to me, push the gamut further and further and further. And the whole goal is to see how far they can push it, you know, or whatever. And maybe this is just another attempt to do that. But that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That is just, it's ridiculous. But it's still on and has been on, excuse me, for a while now. So it's got some kind of viewership. And as long as people watch it, they're going to keep putting stuff like that on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the show you mentioned when you first started talking about that? The whole idea of that show was just damn disgusting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, we do know what happened. Yes, we do know it's out here. But you're gonna make it famous. You're going to put it out there that to pump it up as if it's something good or this, that, and the other, because you know as soon as his show had got started, somebody else is going to come up with more than him.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get a show, and then I'm topping them. Oh, my God. It's just,
yeah. Yeah, because some of these reality shows, I can't. And then the fact they call them reality shows, what's real about, where's the realness in, except for when they be fighting and acting like first-class fools, you know, and then that might even be scripted. But I'm telling you, it is. And why do they call the Housewives of Atlanta the Housewives of Atlanta? Because, let me see, who's married? Cynthia. Cynthia is the only one that's married. Cynthia and Phaedra. Yeah, they're the only ones married, because Nene and Greg are divorced. Kenya's still running around with like a chicken with her head cut off looking for a boyfriend, husband, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And what's the girl's name? The singer. Oh God, Candy. She just got engaged. So then they have another reality. All this reality, the sisterhood. Honey,
I've heard
you talking about a pack of hypocrites. And this is supposed to be about the first wife, what do you call them, the first ladies of the church.
Ladies of the church. Mm-hmm.
Child, if they act like that.
I was over someone's house because, like I said, I don't have cable. Mm-hmm. And maybe I was over my daughter's house, and I saw the preview for it, and I'm sitting there like, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Really? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and I used to do crack right over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a mess. I said, now, these supposed to be Christian women setting an example for their congregation or whatever, and they bickering among themselves, backstabbing each other, and putting their sex lives out there and getting tattoos and talking about, and the one girl, Monica, I mean, what's her name? No, not Monica. What's that girl's name? I think it's Monique, or what is her name? Anyway, she, her and her husband, he wants to renew their wedding vows.
Mm-hmm.
She talking about, I really don't feel comfortable renewing my wedding vows at this particular time in my life because I have a past. And what, when you married him and you had a past, so, hello. Girl, then it showed her riding in a car. So she said, that's the first house that I went in and had my hit of crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm. I saw that part on the thing when they were driving in that car. She said,
I mean, but so what? That's in your past. And if you're supposed to be this saved, quote unquote, Christian first lady of the church and all that kind of stuff, you should be more than happy to renew your wedding vows with your husband that you've been with for however many years that you know, y'all been together.
Well, the whole statement just doesn't make any sense because, first of all, the renewing of the vows, which I know at one point people used to do that when they hit, like, milestones. When I was coming up, it was more like 25 years, you know, whatever. But then you started seeing people doing it at 10 years. Then you start seeing people doing it at 5 years. So, but you're still married.
Mm-hmm.
So renewing the vows is going to do what?
Hmm.
You know, and then again, why do he want to renew the vows? Well, it depends on how long they've been married. But I don't, all that kind of stuff, when I just look at it, it's like, wow. And I think the part that gets me the most, if you look at mainstream TV, you see very few blacks. I know Deception is a new one out, and I like Scandal is one of the few that has blacks in any form of leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
Even the sitcoms like we used to have, we don't even have sitcoms. The ones that are primarily black on TV, the premise of a lot of them, it's kind of stupid at times. I mean, because Mr. Brown, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
I love Tyler Perry to death, but I'll tell you, that man makes my butt
ache. They just make him too stupid.
It's like, oh my goodness. And so, and do I support the show? Yes, I do. Okay. It's still in that family setting. And it does deal with some hard-hitting, you know, real life issues such as
right.
mother being on drugs and stuff like that. But still, I remember when, like, okay, I'll go back to when I was coming up. You had the Cosby Show. You had shows that had a more positive spin on them. You had a show that showed people building themselves up. Different World. Different World. And things such as that, even the Give Me a Break and all those, you know, kind of shows. So I just, I don't know. The shows that you do see nowadays that are primarily black are buffoonery type of shows. They're mocking. And, you know, and they really play into the stereotype, the angry black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you turn around, you see these women fighting and this and then it's like, really? Really?
Yeah. We have a call on the line. I'm going to bring this caller in. Caller 678-691.
Hey, y'all. It's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. What's up, girl?
Hey, Miss Rhea. Hey, Miss Gail. You know, you already know I love this show.
Thank you.
I don't call into nobody's shows anymore, but I call into this one.
Thank you.
Let's talk about reality shows. Let's talk about Beyond Scared Straight. What if the teachers would, oh my God, if the teachers and parents would make their kids watch that on a Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
and then write an essay for it on Friday morning,
mm-hmm.
and then you go to Saturday night when they got Beyond Scared, they got Lock Up Raw,
mm-hmm.
and these kids look and watch them, because best believe they'll be in the jail or under it.
Yeah. Well, I think that, because I was watching it last night, and you know how they show the ending of how they turned out? This one
yeah.
little guy, he went right back to doing what he was doing after he said in jail he was going to change. He told his mom he was going to change, this and that.
Ronnie.
But he went right back. So, and then one of the, you, did you see it last night, where the guy who had the scholarships?
Oh.
He got time.
He had four years for football.
Right, but he got involved in a robbery and is doing two years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And after he went through what, and them guys say, you come back up in here. You come back up here and see what's going to happen. But I guess you have the teenagers that are so set on doing what they want to do, and they're so far gone, because if you don't get your child between the ages of 1 through 5, the rest is history.
Look, let me tell you, I make Dimples, that's Vanetta's son, that's my nephew, I make him sit and watch that. I'll take the game, the controllers and everything. No, you're going to watch this, because I'm not going on there, and I'm definitely not going on Maury with y'all. So, look, you got choices. Make them correct. Make them correct. And then on top of it, let's do Chicago Fire, Grey's Anatomy, and Undercover Boss. Like, I love those shows. People might think I'm a fool, but they is the real reality. Honey Boo Boo, oh, nobody care about her.
Mm-mm. That's just trash.
That's trifling.
Yeah,
trifling.
It really is.
But you get to Chicago Fire, like, seeing people save each other. You go on Grey's. You go, like, it's all about saving each other and everything, but... And then you get to Undercover Boss. What?
Yeah, I watched that one time.
Yep. Undercover Boss, I watch that every Friday night at 8 o'clock. Now, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about this 7-year-old boy in New York that was accused in his school of stealing $5. And the boy was seriously held in the school and then taken... 7 years old, mind you. Taken
is this
to
where
the
boy was locked,
yes,
handcuffed to a wall
hours.
Or something for 6 hours?
10 hours.
Wow.
$250 million lawsuit. This little boy didn't even steal the $5. They interrogated him more than they interrogate murderers, rapists, and all that.
And they were doing it without his parents being there, right?
Oh, don't get me started.
Wow.
That little boy didn't deserve that. He didn't even steal the $5. That's what upsets me. It upsets me to the fact, like, okay, you got tough love, you got this, you got that. But for a school to lock him in handcuffs, who does that? And then all these school shootings, oh, God, please. You ain't even safe to get an education no more.
Nope. You're not even safe when you go to church, because you know they went into church and killed a couple of people in churches. So you're not really safe anywhere, you know. So people who think they live in a safe, crime-free neighborhood and all that stuff, think again. Because
I'm in Chicago. These people have lost their damn minds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this for the life of me. Not even on my worst day. It's like you're just killing for the damn sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that little girl that was a Marinette. What do they call that, Marinette? She was she went to Niagara Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And right, and they killed her. Mm-hmm.
They shot and killed her. Why? She was 15 years old.
They said they don't think she was the intended target, but, you know, just the point of the matter. Right, right. But I'm just saying, they're talking about gun control. What about people control? They need to get these guns from these private dealers, these people selling guns on the Internet, get rid of all those wicked guns like the M47s and all them guns like that.
AK-47,
to kill people.
Yeah,
they need to get rid of those guns. And you know what somebody said? I was watching... I'll get to you 402-972 in 1 minute. They were saying that I was watching this program on Vanguard the other night, and it was about the Mexican gangs down in Guatemala and places like that. They said that the United States makes the best guns, and they get their guns by trading for drugs. United States sends them guns, and they send us drugs.
How about the ladies that just got busted at JFK wearing cocaine diapers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all
That's how it
that?
Is. The United States, they talking about controlling this and controlling that. When they're the ones who steadily bringing them drugs in the country, like when Oliver North was brought all those drugs over here in the coffers of those dead soldiers. Where is he at? Let me bring in this other caller.
Okay.
402-972. Hello.
Greetings. Good evening.
Hi, black man. What's the topic you want to talk about?
Hey, black man.
Hello. Hello, ladies. How are you all?
Okay.
I find that interesting what you were talking about as far as the drugs and the guns.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's nothing. I don't think it was that much different than an Iran-Contra affair with Ronald Reagan when he was doing that trade with Noriega. I also would say that the number one drug, the drugs was the number one business in the United States. They were bringing in, according to a book by Tony Brown, Power to the People, that I read about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, stating that cocaine, illegal drugs was the biggest business to the United States of America. They were making anywhere from $300 billion to $700 billion a year. Then we have to also understand what was the real reason to go into Afghanistan, because you know the number one crop in Afghanistan was that poppy, which makes heroin.
And no telling how many of those soldiers came back in the coffers with drugs in them.
Exactly.
Well, I know when you just spoke about the guns in the United States making the best guns, we're the ones who gave the ammunition and the weapons to Osama bin Laden them in the first place. Hell, Bush number one was the one who trained them in their fighting. They got their weapons from us and then turned around and did what with it.
Yeah, the CIA was training Al-Qaeda over there to run out the Russians.
Exactly.
So that's why I say you have to be really, need to be very careful when they talk about Al-Qaeda, because I think Al-Qaeda and there's another group over there that actually has CIA working with them. That's why I find it so funny they talk about the Taliban and I think Al-Qaeda, because the CIA has a hand in those two groups. So really, who are they attacking?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the real reason for the attacks? So, and the thing with this child with the handcuffs, am I surprised about it? No, because I believe they've been trying to get to the youth as quickly as they can. That's why they're always changing the laws on prosecuting children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to get to the point where they're going to start trying to prosecute them under the age of 13. Because they already said that they can determine how a child does in school, well, how far a child could go. They know if he's going to be successful or he's going to go to prison.
Yeah, and they're going to prison every day.
These kids, that's why I said, watch Beyond Scared Straight and Lock Up Raw, because I'm telling you, the babies right now, these little kids is going to end up in the jail or under it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about the education and the grades and such, first of all, you have a lot of brilliant kids who end up getting in trouble because they're bored. And it has a lot to do with our public school systems.
Mm-hmm. I really wish in some ways, well, not in some ways, because I've voiced this before. My youngest is 22 now. And mm-hmm. I wish they had brought back when kids could make doubles. Because I feel like this, let that child go to school according to their potential. And if that child is functioning and doing at a fifth grade level, even though he's only in the third grade, you need to bump him up. You need to let them work to their potential because they sit in those classrooms. My son that boy sent me through holy hell. He used to sit in those classrooms, and he finished his work in 5 minutes, and then the assignment was a 50-minute assignment. And so now he got 45 minutes to do what? Wreak havoc.
Yep.
You know, so that's one of the things. I don't necessarily believe that you can necessarily say that a child is going to be a certain way because of how they perform in school. And then the other side of it is peer pressure does exist. It said that it does, but it does exist. And being smart was not being popular.
Well, hold up. Listen to me, because you get it. You're right. They're a product of their environment from home. Point blank, period. That's it. So they can be in school acting all types of this, that, and the third, but at the end of the day, when they get home, that's where they spend the most time. They got to realize what is going on at home is what's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because, trust and believe, when Dimples walked, that's my 8-year-old nephew I talk about all the time. When he walked through that door every day, his snack is waiting, his dinner's waiting, and everything. My 13-year-old read on a college level, testing top 5% of the nation. You got my 26-year-old. How many 26-year-olds have a $60,000 a year job and going for her master's in civil engineering? I get aggravated because these parents could encourage their kids to do what they got to do. They don't, because they so busy selling their ass, selling their food stamps, doing this, doing that. Like, what the hell is it going to take?
Well, it's another side to that, okay? Because, Lisa, I can raise my hand. I have a 27-year-old making damn near $80,000. He's an electrical engineer and has his master's already on his way back for his MBA. My daughter graduated valedictorian of her class. That same 22-year-old I told you about,
mm-hmm.
all of them would tell you he's the smartest of the bunch, okay? So it takes a little bit more than that. In our household, they came from a household that was very academic-driven, okay, and things such as that. But that particular child of mine, he did change around, but it had to come from him, because when I tell you that boy sent me through holy hell, he sent me through holy hell. Okay, if he could have disappeared without me going to jail, y'all would never hear me speak of him. Because that boy would have left the face of this damn earth, and I'm telling you, I saw the ways of just, it's like, and at one point, that ain't funny, my mother walked in my house.
Got in trouble. You went in timeout.
No, let me tell you. She caught me, and she caught me at the right time. You all, I went and put on a jogging suit. I put on some gym shoes that you slip on and don't lace up. I was going to hurt that boy. And I was ready to go to jail. And she walked in the door. She looked at me. She looked upside my head. She looked at how I was dressed. Ain't never seen me dressed like that in her life. She looked at me. She told him, she said, pack a bag. You got to get the hell out of here. You know? I mean, this is what he did. This is the kind of, and let me tell you, the boy is brilliant. The boy is brilliant. He came here that way. And he out-taught me. I had to go back to the psychology books with that one. So it takes a little bit more, and he will tell you, at 22 nowadays, because he counsels and kind of directs, he comes back to the neighborhood, gets handful of them at a time, and takes them down to college and gets them enrolled.
And there you go.
Like
so
and stuff
guess
like that.
What?
But what I'm saying, he had to make that choice. He fought me every step of the way. And I've been racking my brain to try to find out how can we change this around, because some of these out here doing this are some of the greatest men we've ever seen exist.
Yep.
You ain't never lied. You ain't never lied on that.
That's true.
But at the same time, I
just don't understand it. But when it comes to their sense of life, they have no, it seems like no remorse. Somebody
no
used
fear.
The word desensitized years ago.
Yeah.
Lord knows that it's, they have no remorse, no nothing about taking, oh, he just dead. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Wow.
They become so used to it, it doesn't bother them.
It's the young ones getting a hold of the guns, getting trigger happy, and think it's cool. No.
And these gangs that are being formed, too, because some of these gangs, you have to actually, your initiation is to go out to kill somebody or to shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so gangs as well as, you know, people from their living environments or whatever the problems are, that's what's going on.
It's never going to end. Somebody got to put a stop to it. It'll never get a stop to it. Where's black men?
And then you get back and you hear certain terms. Oh, I got street cred. I got street cred. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
man,
because
I remember this one little guy that grew up with my son. And to this day, every now and then my daughter would look at me and shake her head. And then she'll say, you lucky you still here. Because I saw him, and as a parent, I think I reacted, and I didn't think. Next thing I know, I had that boy by his damn ear, and I was taking him home. Didn't know, had no idea whatsoever that his damn brother was the chief in this area over here. Mm. And I'm sitting there like, I could have been shot dead. And didn't even think about it. But he grew up with them, and it was just that reaction. But I took him home, and he went in the house, and he, yes, Ms. Bank, because they call me, they say I'm mean. Okay, whatever. But anyway, and he went in the house. Now, I'm sure he didn't stay in the house, but I got in my house and had sat in that window for a while before he came back out. You know what I'm saying? I just sat there, and I'm like, what? I pray about it daily, but I don't know. And like I said, I'm here in Chicago. I see some of the stuff that, you know, happened. I happen to live in an area that is almost midpoint between two different gangs. So at any given Friday night, being quiet is not something we have. You know, I don't know. I really don't know what can be done. People say you got to take your streets back. I don't know what can be done until they start from the top down, because these kids are not walking out here and getting these assault rifles and assault this and assault that. This stuff is being handed down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go to this topic. Remember, you guys may remember the woman that had the 15 kids. The judge ordered unemployed mom of 15 to learn how to suck dick. I'm going to read this story really quick so you can get.
Oh, my God.
Listen, okay.
It says,
this is an oldie but goodie. If you haven't heard of Angel Adams, well, you won't forget her now. Adams, an unemployed mother of 15 children, was ordered by a Florida court judge to take fellatio lessons, a.k.a. sucking dick, in an attempt to slow down the onslaught of illegitimate children spewing from her vagina. The unusual sentence follows weeks of arrests, court appearances, and network interviews. Judge Tracy Sheehan handed down the sentence after Adams refused to admit she was pregnant again. Miss Adams, as a judge of this court and as a citizen of the state of Florida, said Judge Sheehan, I am obligated to shut down the party in your pants. You apparently have no moral compass. You have no moral compass to guide your unstoppable urge to share your body with the entire male population of Florida Panhandle. So this court is ordering you to learn how to perform fellatio and how to give hand jobs. If this doesn't slow your unabashed desire to drive up the minority population of the United States, then I will tie your tubes myself, said the irritated judge. Tampa police said that Adams was legally evicted because she had lied to her landlord about the number of children she had living with her. The Department of Children and Families paid her bills and found a house big enough for Adams and her tribe of 15, but she was not happy with the new arrangements. Adams took the FDC to court yesterday in an attempt to force them to help her. The presiding judge noted that Adams seemed to be irritated with the court. You're right, I am mad. Somebody got to pay for these children, said the unwed mother. I can't. I asked the DCF people that I've been thrown out of my apartment for no good reason. Now I've got nowhere to live. They have to give me a place to live. Did you see the house that they was going to put us in? Damn. Who they think we is? I'm reading just like it's written. The damn house right up against the fucking railroad tracks. All that noise gonna throw off my monthly cycle. Besides, ain't no washer or drying machine. I ain't walking down to the laundry. No way. The case was temporarily delayed when Miss Adams' uterus fell. What? Wait a minute. The case was temporarily delayed when Miss Adams' uterus fell out into the courtroom floor. And the court. I swear this is what I'm reading. I'm reading this, okay, when Miss Adams' uterus fell out into the courtroom floor and court bailer struggled to shove it back in. After the brief but disturbing delay, Judge Sheehan told Adams that if she was to ever step foot in her courtroom again, and she better not be wearing a dress. Wearing pants, said the judge, and spanks at least two pairs. I don't want to see your fallopian tubes in my court again.
Ooh.
Adams and her children had been put up at a Four Seasons Hotel until other living quarters can be arranged. Adams has been collecting welfare and other government assistance since 1972. She has never been unemployed. She has never been employed and has no source of income. In 1989, she briefly worked as a model and was seen on the March cover of Ho magazine. She gave up her modeling career. After she received injuries falling off the casting couch of the poorly respected photographer David Sapier. Eight different men and one donkey sired Angie's 15 children.
Oh, wow.
The donkey be the father of Jerome, said Angel. That boy shouldn't have been born. Should sure be stubborn. Adam's family has refused to help her in her latest string of problems. Angie's brother, Joe Bone, told reporters this morning, I'm done with that crazy hoe. This well is dry. She's been wasting her time dropping her bucket down on me. She just can't keep her damn legs closed. Why ain't those children's daddies paying for them kids? Now, you know that's a, oh my, her uterus fell out in the courtroom. What kind of mess is that?
Would have fell out in the courtroom, too.
And then the judge.
Just being in the pew, I would have just been sitting there like, what the hell?
And then for the judge to say something like that.
Oh, Lord, is she still a judge?
I'm surprised that judge wasn't a black woman, because that's
her. I don't know what she was, but that was just terrible.
Wow.
Where's black man at?
I'm right here.
Okay, he got real quiet.
Because I don't know what to say, because I'm shocked that that's actually a real story. When she got to the point where her uterus fell out in the crowd, like, please, that's a real story.
You know what? They should have picked it up and then threw it in the nearest garbage can so she couldn't get pregnant again. Shit, because I never forget when they first talked about this broad, and she stood up and said, somebody going to pay and take care of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like, excuse me? You said you have them. And at that time, mm-hmm. she was pregnant, and she was lying to them at that time. So the reason that judge probably said some of the things that they said, because she was ordered, quote unquote, not to get pregnant again. She
mm-hmm.
was sitting in that court pregnant and was lying about it. And I sat there and I'm like, Lord have mercy.
Yeah,
I heard it all.
That is just something. You know, then she's talking about, y'all going to take, no, you take him. But for real, the government has been taking care of him. But, you know, she needs to be, now that's a simple case She needed to be tied down and have her fallopian tubes removed, her uterus and everything else just taken out, so she can't have any more children. And what man is getting her pregnant?
Oh, wow. There's one that's jumping off every day.
And she was on the Home magazine, huh?
Home magazine.
You would be surprised.
Wow, that is...
It's scary, the mentality. But you know what? Her mentality is running rapid. I was sitting on the bus this summer, and...
Oh God!
This guy got on the bus, and there was a really big guy, and then there was a slim guy. Okay, mm-hmm. The really big guy was dressed very nice, you know, mm-hmm. in what he had on, and this that. The slim guy wasn't dressed that, but the big guy said, and when he said it, this is what made me stop reading my book and look up at him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "They think I'm gonna go down here and work for my damn money." They were even putting my stuff on my link card saying I got to put in 4 hours to get my money. And I'm sitting there, and I looked up at him, and all I can say to myself is, your money, that ain't your money. That's part of my damn money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of the workers. I am paying for you. And I just, and then the other one chimed in, and he said, yeah, because I just told them to keep that then, because I'm not going to get out here. You ain't going to have me out here working no 4 hours. And, I only get, but what he said, some amount, something that I think came out to like $7 an hour. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at him and I'm looking at the other one, and they going back and forth. And all I can say to myself is, wow, are you serious? Like somebody
they can go to McDonald's and make $8 an hour.
Exactly, but like somebody owes you something.
Mm-mm.
It's like, no, they, wow, That mentality does run rapid. And I know when I was younger coming up, there were women who had children regularly to increase their damn check.
Oh, yeah. I know. This lady used to sit next door to me when I was a little bit younger. But it seemed like she, every time she had one baby, and she ended up having like 7 or 8 kids. When she moved
she
in there, I think she had
boo-boos.
About... Huh?
I'm sorry.
When she first moved in the house, I think she had maybe about 3 kids, and she ended up having 7. Never worked anywhere. She's dead now, but you know, some of them do. They get so addicted to getting those welfare checks.
Yeah, one of my neighbors
sitting on their button tail. They don't want to work.
Yep.
Oh,
there's no incentive.
Let's talk about tax season. You can't buy a beer all year round. You is mad in love with baby mamas or baby daddies. At tax season, they get that check, they be balling, and guess what? In April, they can't buy beer again.
Well, have you heard that if you're receiving public assistance, you can't buy any lottery tickets? Where was that at?
Yeah, they're trying to pass that over, and I forget what state.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on welfare, you can't. I mean, how are they gonna know you're on welfare? What you know? What's the deal? You're gonna have to wear a sign, or you know, you have three sixes on your forehead, or you know, how are they gonna know who's getting welfare and who's not going? And then they said the merchants who sell them the tickets will be in trouble as well.
Because
you pay cash for that, unless you use a debit card. But you pay cash. That's a cash. Business.
Right. And they get cash on their cards, and all they have to do is get a couple of dollars and play the number. But see, they can get the money and then go someplace else.
Did
you
ever see the check cash in place in the lottery place on the first and third of the month when they get their checks?
Do they what?
I said, have you ever seen the check cashing and lottery place on the first and the third of the month?
Yeah, and the McDonald's, the KFC, and everything else. Bombarded on the first and the fifth.
That's sad. I know they in Chicago at least there something has been talked about, and I don't know whether it's they're trying to make it put it in legislative form or whatever the case may be, but for the last 2 weeks. They're throwing around this thing, banding people who get public assistance from playing the lottery.
Hmm. I mean, I just want to know how they're going to do that.
Can you imagine?
Because
this
anyway, let me say this. Anyway, there's always a way to get around something. Because remember, I don't know if you guys can remember back in the day when you got food stamps, they would look like they were dollar bills and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can
right,
sell
them. Right, they came in coupon books.
Right. So now they have it, so you have it on a debit card, but you still can, somebody can use your debt. They try to do that to keep you from selling, but you give somebody your debit card and a PIN number, you still can sell them. So I'm quite sure the people on welfare, if they want to play the lotto, they're going to play it. So simple as that.
Let's talk about the hoe around the block that gets $5-something a month and sells all those stamps for drugs.
What? Does she have kids or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she has two kids. Ain't no food in her house.
That's pitiful. And see,
yeah,
it's people like that that get the most of everything. Because I knew this guy. He was a young guy, too, and he was getting something like $200-some worth of food stamps, and he was getting public assistance. And he could work. He was able, but they said they had declared him bipolar or something like that. But bipolar people can work.
Hell yeah. Give them some meds.
They can
well, I
work.
Know here in Chicago, they stand outside of the food stores, and they'll say, I'll use my link. I'm trying to see how they say it. But anyway, they say, I'll use my link and charge you $100
worth of food.
Food, and you just pay me $50.
Yeah, they sell masks on
the app. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Or they stand inside the grocery store. And so when you're going up and down the aisles, they'll talk to you then. And it's like, no. And they will, like, literally follow you to the cash register to see how you're paying and everything else. I'm like, you know what? Wow.
Oh, no, one's better. When I was in Newark, and I told Quan this, because Quan was like, I need a steak. I said, hold up. Wait till tomorrow. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, wait till tomorrow when they get the food stamps, because this is in Newark. I said, and all these cokeheads and crackheads will come out on the block with the steaks they bought for $25 and sell them to you for $10. He said, what? I said, step on Springfield Avenue and watch what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's abuse, and a lot of people are trying to get public assistance, the ones who really need it, and they give them the runaround. I mean, they give them the food.
You know what? There's another thing that some of them do. They can sit up, and I say they, I mean, because I've seen it. They even got lights in their house, but they weren't wearing these expensive-ass gym shoes. Or these Gucci bags and this, that, the other. And every damn thing they want back is name brand and this, that, and the other, but you on public aid.
Yep.
How does that work?
And then on top of it, oh my God, the best is yet to come is when they sell their food stamps to pay their electric bill and they own Section 8 and their rate is $13 a month.
Yeah.
What the hell? Where do they do that at?
I know a girl, she was living in Section 8. She got evicted. You know why? She didn't have to pay rent. She got evicted because she didn't pay her utility bills. And they got so high, she put her out. Now, you live in somewhere rent-free, and you can't even pay utility bills? I wish I could live somewhere rent-free and pay utility bills. I'd beg, borrow, and steal if I had to pay the bills and did not to get put out.
Thank
you. Crazy.
Thank you. I mean, let's not get it twisted because we all go through hard times.
Oh, no doubt.
We all been there, done that, had to, you know, ask people for money and do all that. But at the end of the day, it's like we did it straight. And I look at these people out here like you just don't even realize. And it's so easy in Georgia. No lie. Everything's done online. You don't got to go to the office. You don't just fax your paperwork in, certify it, mail it in. They don't care. Georgia, I swear to God, I can tell y'all right now, you can use my address, and y'all, with one child, by yourselves, without even kids, you getting 200 in food stamps.
Maybe I need to move to Georgia.
You got one child. You got one child. You rolling with 367 a month in food stamps. Yeah.
Well.
And Georgia, I gotta say, it's. I don't want to say it as a bad way, but Georgia really has their people's back because they don't want to see you. They really don't care what you do. They just want to know that, you know, you can renew online, you can do everything on Georgia Compass. Ain't nothing.
Well, Maryland don't really care about the people. I live in Maryland. But D.C., they look out for their people because you can get Medicaid and dental work and stuff like that. But in Maryland, treat you good in Maryland.
That Georgia, that's the thing. You can't get Medicaid unless you're pregnant or got kids. And only your kids get Medicaid. You can't have it.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, they do. Well, they give, in Maryland, they give us Medicare. Which Medicare is not all, it's not as good as Medicaid because Medicaid, like I said, my sister lives in D.C.
Right.
And she gets Medicaid and she got free dental work, you know, stuff that, because D.C. takes care of their people. Maryland
right.
is supposed to be so wealthy and this and that and they really don't care. You know, they give you this and give you that. But D.C. is really the place that I would rather live. But unfortunately, I'm stuck in Maryland because D.C. has been revitalized and a lot of because Maryland at one point was all white people before the – and D.C. – well, it's switching up because D.C. at one point used to be all white. Then all the whites moved to Maryland. All the blacks was in D.C. Now the whites are moving back to D.C., so the blacks are moving back to Maryland. So – you know, and the reason for that is because they're building new properties and houses and stuff, and the whites and the blacks can't afford them, so they're moving them to Maryland. They're making it more affordable for blacks to live in Maryland and, you know, all that crazy stuff. But, you know, like I said, if I could live back in D.C., that's what I would do because they really revitalized it. I mean, it's just so beautiful how they fixed up and, you know, put up new houses and in places where it used to be, you know, drug infested and all this so crazy stuff. I mean, it's really beautiful. D.C. has always been beautiful to me, but, you know, how they, you know, just added more on to it and, you know, made it more beautiful than it's ever been. Downtown looks like a little New York now. You know, I haven't even been down there to really, because I've been driving around, so I said, wow, I haven't been down here in a dog's age. So one day, I always say I'm going to get out the car and just, or catch the subway down and just walk around because it has been, it just looks so different. It looks like you're in a totally different place, you know. So, yeah, that's what's going on. And like I said, Maryland, they really don't care about the people out here.
Now, let's talk about Atlanta for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta got more homeless people than New York does. New York got shelters. New York will let you sleep on the streets, all that. Atlanta, oh, hell to the no. They ain't got shit. Their shelters are full. You have hundreds of people sleeping on the streets. And talk about mass transportation. That's what I miss from up north. You ain't got a car down here, you ain't moving.
That's how it is in Maryland. Buses stop running at a certain time in Maryland, but D.C., you can't catch a bus, you know, all night. But in Maryland, buses stop running, and the bus stops are so far from your home. You know, it's crazy. It's really crazy. And you're talking about homelessness right across the street from the White House, Lafayette Park. That's the name of the park. They was homeless people had tents or even sleeping on the benches right across from the White House now. They're all around the corner from the White House. All downtown, everywhere you go downtown, you see homeless people, you know, just laying on grates and sitting
but
in the parks.
But wait, they take our tax money and donate to other countries. What is wrong with that picture?
Yeah, something definitely. And I think, for one thing, everybody's crying about this and crying about that. Take care of your own backyard first. Now, I think that what should be going on, it should be the home. There shouldn't be no people homeless because they had too many houses with boards on them. Take the boards off them houses, fix them up, get these people off the street, the ones who are not on the street by choice, because you do have some people who want to be on the street, but you got people who lost their job during the recession or something happened to their house or something, you know, so they're forced to be on the street. Get these people off the street, get them back in the job, get them back to working and things that they, you know, lost, and, you know, just get this place together, because there are too many houses that are boarded up. But what they're doing is they're fixing those houses up, charging anywhere from $500,000 to $600,000, $500,000, $1 million, and all this other kind of stuff. So quite naturally, black people cannot move into those houses. They putting up they turn apartment buildings into condominiums. You know, and the prices are astronomical. So naturally, the white people are coming out of the suburbs back into the district. And when you go downtown, I've never seen so many white people walking around on some of the streets that they're walking around on now. It almost looks like it's not real, because I remember years ago on 14th Street, it was nothing but blacks, because the horse throw was down there, and, you know, you may see some white people further downtown, but all down in Georgia Avenue, all those places was basically just black people. Now they've opened clubs and eateries and different things like that along that corridor, and, you know, it looks really good. So the white people are coming in, buying up this, building this and doing that, you know, so that's what's going on. That's what's going on, and I really think that, you know, it's always going to be homelessness, it's always going to be people hungry, it's always going to be people poor.
Well, the other night, I'll tell you what, when that storm came and I saw that Asian woman, well, I guess she was Mexican, with her two boys sitting out there in the rain, brought them in, gave them showers, made them some food, put them down for the night in my crib. I don't know these people. It's just a fact. And coming to find out the next day when I called the front office, like, these people, because I woke up and they was gone. It was like, oh, no, Lisa, every weekend when her husband get drunk, he locks the kids and her out. What? Who does that? But I was glad I saved him for one night, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, she needs to get out of that situation, and probably she can't
don't
because...
She speak English.
Right.
She barely speak any English.
Right.
She got a green card. I don't even know. I was just worried about the kids, basically.
Yeah, that's a shame when you see families on the street and families living in their cars and they give them a motel room for 10 and 15 people and, you know, just it's terrible.
It's just getting ridiculous. It's getting to the fact where, you know, it's like we got to save our own and we can't because everybody taking from everybody, doing everything from everybody. That's why the last post the last couple of nights was give somebody a blanket, a pair of socks, a shirt, something.
Mm-hmm. Look, I put them homeless people because you never know. You might join them. You see what I'm saying? Because just like I don't have any heat in my house because I haven't got any oil yet, waiting for DHR to distribute me some oil. But, you know, I do have heaters in here to keep me warm, you know, opposed to somebody who's living on the street, you know, where are they going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just out there in the elements, and it ain't like it's warm out there. We had a few good days, but it's 22 degrees out there, and how many bodies they're going to find?
Exactly. And then I was down here, and I went through my thing. I lived in a hotel for 2 months. Because authors wasn't paying me what they were supposed to be paying me, so I got screwed. And, living in the hotel for 2 months. Then I get the crib. Everything's fine. Everything's good. And then Mama had to go up north because her mama died. That's my roommate. But her mama died. So I'm sitting here one day, and they cut the power off. Why? I go up there with the money, but because I go with the lease, my ID, but because I was only an occupant on the lease, they wouldn't let me turn the power back on.
Wow.
So I had to go stay at my best friend's house. What kind of shit is that?
Well, honey, they just they treat people the way they want to treat them, and then you go to get help, they act like the money's coming out of their pocket.
You ain't
never
lied.
I started working when I was 14 years old. I think some of that money belonged to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just terrible, and people are just suffering for no reason. You know, the help is there. They have the means to help these people. Now, I can understand over in Africa where they don't have welfare, they don't have clinics, they don't have the things that we have over here. You know, you can go to the welfare department and get, you know, some type of assistance, but they're not doing it like that. At one point, they were saying anybody that had any children, that was having children after they, you know, okay, say like if I had three kids and I was getting welfare for all those kids and me. If I had another baby, that baby had nothing coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they was doing that. Now, I remember years and years ago when I did used to get public assistance, they had it set up so that you could get into a program so they can get you back to working, you know, and get you your own housing and stuff like that. And I don't know if they still have that going on, but if they don't, they should. Because
well,
that's,
in Georgia,
that really,
they do. In Georgia,
huh?
They do. In Georgia, they do. But they, because my friend is in it, and she has to, her and her four kids have to have a curfew, all that. They can't have nobody, no kind of company, not even I could go over there. And
right, so they live in a shelter. That's the same thing. I have a relative that's been in a shelter for some years now. And, you know, there are rules for that. And I can understand that because if they go in there and somebody from the outside comes in there and start a fight or, you know, ruckus and all that kind of stuff, somebody gets hurt, then somebody has to be held responsible. So when you visiting these people that I know, you have to show your ID. I think you have to leave it in the office with them or something like
no,
that. But you have
not
to show your ID.
They're apartments.
This is an apartment too.
Okay.
These are apartments,
okay.
But it's a shelter. You know, they have one building that they use. It's in a community of other apartments, but this one apartment building, they use it for shelters.
Yes.
For people that are homeless. Right. So you have to show an ID when you go in there. You can't stay in there all day, neither.
No. No. Not
right.
at all.
So, you know, that's
but
you know,
I'd
but at least that's getting help because, like I said, in some places they don't even offer that.
Exactly.
You know.
Where's the rest of the crew that we was talking to? Where's Mr. Black?
Black man?
Yeah, where's Black man? Oh,
he's still here.
You hear male opinion on all this. We yapping it up.
It looks to me like they're making more folks poor and putting them more on the street. They're not paying people enough.
That's
and
true.
The cost of, like, for instance, this is my first check of the year, and I'm the tax increase.
Yeah.
They took more out because they didn't sign that damn whatever tax thing. He didn't extend his Bush tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, when that happened, I was like, oh, man, that just messed me up. So I could get overtime. If I was getting overtime, it would be a little bit more, which would help me out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not paying me that much anywhere where I'm working at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that tax cut thing, it just makes it, now it's just more of a problem to me. And as long as they keep going through this and playing this game, it's going to put more people in the poorhouse. Food, the price of food's going up.
Yep.
Gas is going back up. And it's sad because down here in Houston, they made it to where you cannot feed a large group of homeless people. Or you will go, or they will give you a ticket. They will put you in jail.
What?
Yes.
Explain, please.
Well, I mean, they had people that would go around the city and feed the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's numbers, you know, a group of 5, 6, or 7, 10, 15, whichever, you know, they run into in that part, this particular part of the city. And some people got together and legislated and decided, no, you can't do that. That's just too much like right. And they passed some type of thing where you cannot do that. Or you will go to jail.
Now, you know what? Every Sunday, every Sunday, the church from across the street comes through the complex, knocks on everybody's door, asks them if they want cheesecake.
Do they want cheesecake?
Yeah, they make cheesecakes over at the church, and they just come around and ask everybody if they want a piece.
So, black man, do they have soup kitchens and things like that there?
Yeah. I believe that's in every city, every major
city. But they don't get in trouble for feeding the homeless.
They can't go out and feed them, no.
Oh,
I
got you.
They can go to the shelters, but they cannot go out and feed
them. Go on the street and feed them.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, you should be able to go out and feed. These are homeless people. There's no reason a major city such as Houston, Houston's a big city. There's no reason big cities should have a large number of homeless people. This is ridiculous as far as what we're saying. It is ridiculous.
You
have all this money, because I can go in certain areas in this city, and then you got very, very well-to-do people, because you know a lot of the oil companies are down here. You got BP, Shell, Exxon, and several other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And making billions of dollars. Like, Exxon's about to build this big ass. Okay, I live next to an area called Katy.
Mm-hmm.
Katy is a upscale kind of community, and and if you go further out west, you know, that's where you find the million-dollar homes, the $350,000 to million-dollar homes.
Hey, y'all, I'm about to be in the chat room.
$1.5 million, you know.
Because my phone did.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And, but if you come, and then if you go to, trying to figure out if you want to explain this. You got these out. You got those millionaires, and then Exxon's got a building over here in this area called Katy. Okay, they're getting ready to move over another area called Woodlands, which is on the north side of town. They're gonna build this big, huge ass complex for these people.
Mm.
Now you got all these billions of dollars coming from these oil companies. You mean you couldn't at least they get a billion? $2-4 billion a year. You couldn't at least give them at least a few million to take care of the homeless people that are homeless families.
That would
be
too much like right.
It's too much like right. You know, it's really a shame. You know, but they want to run this shit into the ground. They're going to go ahead and run it into the ground. But what they're going to find is. I found that last movie, Batman, interesting because they were taking, in that movie, if anybody saw it, the last one, they took all the wealthy people, put them on trial, and then they made their asses go walk across that frozen lake. You can either die or you can take your chances on that frozen lake because it was dead of winter. And people may get to the point where they may start doing that, going after these rich folks. Because it's getting outrageous. I mean, everybody wants to live comfortably, but it should be within reason.
Yeah.
No reason somebody, like some of these executives, should be making all these millions of dollars and they're competing with each other because they don't personally give a damn. Did you know 60 Minutes had a special 12 years ago on 60 Minutes? Where these wealthy folks were competing to see who can give the most money. They didn't give a damn about how much money really they were giving to the poor, but they were competing with each other because they would get pissed off each other. They would fight each other because they wanted to show up one another. That was the main objective.
You know, the other side but something that's connected to what you're saying is these companies out here who give these golden umbrellas to these people that are at the top of these companies, yet these companies are folding and walking away with the pensions and everything else of all these damn workers. That should be illegal. There should be no way that a company can fold, and yet they execs can walk away with these golden umbrellas, and all these people are left with nothing. And they even have their pensions and stuff, things such as that. You know, it started with the E1. They were like one of the first who did it, and then after they did it, you started seeing it more and more and more. So, and then they would liquidate these companies, but these heads of these companies and these top people done walked away with $400,000 a year or $4 million, whatever the case was. That should be illegal. That should be just point blank wrong. You leave people locked out and walk away. And okay, I'll give you a prime example. Here in Chicago, there was a very popular store called Moinoink, and I think it had 4 locations. This store folded, okay? And when this store folded, I know personally, because they grew up with me, 2 guys. One guy had put in 32 years, and one guy had put in like 31, maybe 30, somewhere up in there. Mm-hmm. And when that store folded, that store took everything. So these guys are left not without pinches or anything.
Mm.
And it's like, that has to be wrong for somebody. They're allowing the ones with the money to actually walk on the ones that, you know, like the workers that's under them. That's one of the reasons why some of them people are so angry with what they deem in Obamacare, because he's making you take care of, you know, you have to provide medical for these for your full-time employees and stuff like that. That's one of the reasons they're so mad. So what they're doing things like they're cutting a person. Instead of a person working 40 hours a week, they'll let them work 35. So then they have to pay full benefits and stuff like that. It's just wrong. Well, we already see that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and that's part of the reason why, because you got so many things are pulling from that same pot. And one of the things, not to get into politics or anything, but it is a simple fact. Those of us that are working poor and the ones that are one step above that are paying the most taxes. You know, these people walking around here making millions of dollars a year, and they get thousands upon thousands of write-offs and things such as that. And here I am making, I'm barely breaking $30,000 a year, and I'm about to lose my last dependent. And Lord knows my tax bracket goes up to 33.7%. So 33.7% of my income goes toward income taxes after I lose my last one when he turns 24.
Wow.
And it's ridiculous. It's just like you really can't win for losing. And it's like, just like Black Man was saying, it's like it makes it even harder. You know, you're clawing and you're trying to get to a certain level, or trying to get and just trying to make it. And then every time you turn around, there's something that's coming to lay down more, you know, on you. Just like, okay, nothing. Look at your gas bill. Your gas bill can be $90 a month for your gas services. When they finish taxing and putting taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes, and then turn around and taxing the taxes, next thing you know, your bill is $140 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, you pay almost 50% of what you pay for the service more in taxes, and
yeah.
It's like it's ridiculous. I just don't. I really don't understand. I know I look at movie stars and some of our quote unquote famous people, and those would be the first ones they comp. You know, they give them this and they give them that. Those are the ones who don't need it. They got some money to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like the world is backwards when it comes to certain things. I've never been one who wanted to be rich, but
just to live comfortably. You don't, you know, because really,
be comfortable.
Rich people are not the happiest people on the earth now.
No, believe that.
I just want to be comfortable, to have a nice car, a roof over my head, and be able to travel a little bit. You know, that's what I really want. So,
and
you know,
not have to worry. Sometimes you only hit pockets,
Like, I remember when I still have children, because basically I'm an empty nester now, but mm-hmm. when I still had children here, from August through October was the hardest month. Because I refused to send my children to public school.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked multiple jobs and put my children through parochial school. And the reason being, I have to tell everybody, my children need to be scholarship worthy. So they
mm-hmm.
so they can go to college, because mama
mm-hmm.
wasn't paying for no college, but they need to go to college,
right.
So they didn't have to struggle like I did,
mm-hmm.
and so they need to be scholarship worthy. So, you know, in public school, they fight so much with discipline that they don't get to the art of learning and teaching. Man needs to be able to learn because they need to be competitive, and they were and they are. Every last one of them are successful and standing on their own 2 feet and making more than I am.
Well,
so I achieved that, but I just sit back and I just look at some of those things. Sometimes it's like, well, it just piled on top. But from August through October, those months were the hardest months of the year, and I think because you're getting back used to coming off the summer and paying tuition and this, that, and the other of the year. So you hit these pockets where you have to worry, are you going to be able to at least meet your bills, you know,
right.
and this, that, and the other. And I don't want to have to worry about that. And I don't mind sharing, because I share all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I ain't got that much, I still share. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to be, never wanted to be rich, but I definitely want to be comfortable. And I've worked hard enough that I should be able to live comfortably.
Yeah. Well, we're getting down to the last few minutes of this show. This was really a great show. I want to tell everybody thanks for calling Lisa and Black Man and people who are listening from wherever you're listening. This was the segment, Open Topic, which I have every first Friday of the month at 11 p.m. And as you know, Bringing Sexy Back airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. This Wednesday, the topic will be how to survive a breakup. That's going to be half of the show. The other half is going to be and how to protect your child from predators, because we're just hearing so much about these kids getting kidnapped or molested, you know, so we're just going to put a little stuff out there about how to protect your child from predators. and a predator could be in your own family, so, you know, we need to let people know these things. So tune in Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. And at the end of the month, the last Friday, is going to be my musical show. That's and this is going to be Slow Jams, because I did Happy Hour the past Friday. And it was something else I wanted to say. It slipped my mind that quick. Wow, what's going on with me? Rhea?
You have the junior moment.
Well, I forgot that quick what I was going to say.
Yeah, a friend told me that. He said, I ain't no senior yet. I'm having a junior moment. I said, I love it. I love it.
Wow, that is something. Well, I'm just going to say, you know, as my show airs on Wednesday, I will be letting you guys know what the topic is going to be. And if anybody has a topic they'd like to discuss on the Wednesday, Bringing Sexy Back, email me at gjdelicious37 at gmail.com. And Rhea, throw your email address out there so they can email you if they'd like.
My email address is rheaalexis@yahoo.com. That's my first name with no space. That's realexis@yahoo.com.
Right. So if you have any topics you want to discuss, just drop us an email, or you could leave it on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/GailDeliciousJohnson. You can inbox me, and, you know, whatever it is, there's nothing taboo or too... nothing too sexual that but we will not be discussing anything as far as adults having sex with children. So that's out.
Oh,
you know, so, right. If you want to talk about that, you have the wrong show. Okay.
Bring on. if you want to talk about that, we want to know your address and your phone number. We're going to
yeah.
to come visit you.
No, we can report you. You're right about that.
Yeah, so don't even try it, because I do know how to introduce people to Mr. Click. That's my good friend. Okay, so I'm going to say goodnight to you guys, and thanks again, Black Man 37, and Rhea, thanks you. You know, I really thank you for, you know, being my co-host, and I appreciate everybody who listened in. And everybody have a beautiful weekend. Wrap up and look out for the homeless. Talk to you guys next Wednesday.
All right, have a good night.
Okay, good night.
Go ahead, Stone, make it do what it do. I know you're hearing the roar of the crowd right now, but same people you see going up, you see them coming down. Before you got your E and your brand new B and your exclusive free, I was your baby, I was your ride or die, and it's your one supply and everything you need. There was never room for either to assume you would be leaving, but now that you're brand new and getting on through, it's something to take with you. I was your baby, 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 baby.
good night, everybody.